today on Life Talk.
Your attitude is the lens through which you view life. How do you look at life? Is it fair, unfair? Is it good for you or bad? Do you look at life through angry eyes or bitter eyes or through thankful eyes and loving eyes? The way you look at life is your attitude.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, solid biblical truth, and maybe even a laugh or two, well, that's exactly what Pastor Jeff wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated at times, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always check it out at our website, lifetalkradio.us. In fact, you can find all the programs right there waiting just for you, lifetalkradio.us. But right now, here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more about today's program on Life Talk.
Well, as we wrap up our series called Shift, where we've dealt with the magnitude of our attitude, I want to close out with a talk about a conquering attitude. As we've seen throughout this series, your attitude can make you or break you. It can literally carry you forward or set you way back. It even defines who you are in the eyes of others. We've all known somebody with a bad attitude. To them, life is always unfair. They complain and moan about everything, and sometimes their attitude gets them into real trouble. On the flip side, we've known people with great attitudes, and they're a joy to be around. But then there are those who have a conquering attitude. Their attitude keeps them on top of life's challenges and champions in whatever they undertake. So grab your Bible and follow along as I share the message, A Conquering Attitude. I want to talk to you today about attitude. I'm going to call this a conquering attitude. I want to look at what a conquering attitude is, because every believer in here, and that's most everybody here, is called to have a conquering attitude, not a defeated attitude, but a conquering attitude, because the great conqueror, the greatest of all, lives in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So I want us to look at Romans 8, verse 35, and some of my favorite passages. Romans 8 is so loaded with good stuff. But let's just read a little bit of it. Paul says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" Yet, now I want you to read this last part with me good and loud like you're the one preaching. Are you ready? "Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Do you believe that? All right, now notice what he said about you and me. He said, we don't just conquer, we more than conquer. Isn't that amazing? We don't just win, we more than win. We don't just have the victory, we have more than victory. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that today you will help us to put on the attitude that Jesus had. Not only was he a humble servant, not only did he serve you all the way to the cross, but he also, Lord, maintained a conquering attitude throughout his entire life on earth. And I pray that that attitude that was in him will be in us. And Lord, I thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody say, give me a conquering attitude, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. He heard that prayer. Bad attitude is like a flat tire. You're not going to get anywhere until you change it. I know that's kind of hokey, but it's true. Now, we've talked about attitude and the magnitude of attitude, how important it is that we have the right attitude. Everybody walked in here today with an attitude. Everybody will leave with an attitude. And this week, you're going to wear an attitude. There is nobody that walks out the front door that is not wearing an attitude. Good or bad, positive, negative, sweet or sour, you're wearing an attitude. Now, we've talked about not just the magnitude of attitude, but an unselfish attitude and a winning attitude. And we looked at the exhortation given to us in Philippians where Paul said, let the attitude that was in Jesus be in you. Let it be in you. Now, he wouldn't tell us to do something we could not do. If we can't have the attitude of Jesus, the Bible would not be telling us to walk in it.
So we're to have the attitude that Jesus had. And that was overcoming. And that was servanthood. And that was conquering. And that was loving. And that was not angry, not sour, not bitter. He loved. He didn't hold grudges. He didn't develop a root of bitterness, though he was treated terribly. He carried his attitude, his conquering attitude, to the end. From the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Now, since he had that attitude, we're to have it. Now, let me again define attitude, just to bring us up to speed. An attitude is a settled disposition or a frame of mind about a person or a thing. That's what an attitude is. Your attitude is the lens through which you view life. How do you look at life? Is it fair, unfair? Is it good for you or bad? Do you look at life through angry eyes or bitter eyes or through thankful eyes and loving eyes? How do you look at life? The way you look at life is your attitude. Somebody wrote this about attitude. This is so good. They wrote, "It is the advanced man of our true selves. Its roots are inward, but its fruit is outward. It's our best friend or our worst enemy. It is more honest and more consistent than our words," your attitude. It's your outward look based on past experiences. Your outward look based on what happened back there. It is a thing which draws people to us or repels them from us. It's never content until it's expressed. It is the librarian of our past, the speaker of our present, and the prophet of our future. Tell me what your attitude is, and I can predict some things about your life 5 years from now. You can't keep an attitude a secret, just like the little boy told to go sit in the corner of the room for being bad. And he said, "All right, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." That's attitude. You're going to show your attitude in your face, your voice, your actions, the way you carry yourself, your posture, and you can't get away from it. That's your attitude. However much you are for or against something, your attitude will show through to those that are around you, and you can't help it. Everybody in here with teenagers say, "I know that's right." I had a big amen over there. Now, I want to close out this series by looking at the attitude that is crucial to our victory as Christians, and that is a conquering attitude. I want you to think about that concept, an attitude that is a conquering attitude, as opposed to a defeated attitude. Let me just differentiate. A winning attitude is how you view life in general, but a conquering attitude is how you view your battles in particular. How you view your battles. Do you face your battles with a defeated, "I'm a victim, loser" kind of attitude? Or do you face them with a confident, faith-filled, "I can do all things through Jesus" kind of attitude? How do you face your battles? Because the attitude with which we face our battle is going to decide whether we win or lose. I guarantee you it's true. You remember back in the days of Moses, when they were going to go in and take the promised land, Moses chose 12 men, one from each tribe of the tribes of Israel. And he said, "I want you to go into the promised land, scout it out. I want you to go spy it out. And come back and bring us a report about the promised land we have waited all these years to walk into." So 12 men went off. 12 men looked at the promised land, and 12 men returned. But they didn't bring the same report of what they saw. 10 brought a negative report. 2 brought a positive, conquering attitude kind of report. Listen to the 10. They said, "There we saw the giants and we were like grasshoppers." Now listen to this telling statement. "We were like grasshoppers in our own sight." That reveals the lens through which they were reviewing life and viewing their battle. They looked at the giants and they said, "In our own sight, the way we saw us was we were like grasshoppers compared to them." How you view yourself, are you a winner or a loser in Jesus, matters when you face your battle. Now, notice it wasn't the giants that defeated them. It was the lens through which they saw their enemy that defeated them. It wasn't the Giants. The Giants didn't have to lift a finger. Their attitude did it for them. The way they looked at the Giants, the way they looked at themselves, the way they looked at the battle did it for them. They were defeated before they even began. Is that the way you face your battle? Not a person in here today is free of some kind of battle. We're all going through some kind of a battle. We're in a battling world. We're in a world under assault, and all of us have an enemy. And we all face mountains, and we all face battles. We all face enemies and adversaries that are against us. And how do we face them when we look at them? Do we look at them with a conquering attitude? I can do this attitude. I'm a winner attitude through Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or do we look at them through a defeated, negative attitude? Listen, they didn't stop there, but they continued to talk about how bad things looked. They said, we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and we can't win. We can't defeat them. They're bigger than us. But now two of the 12 had a different report. Listen to their conquering attitude in the words they spoke. They said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. We are well able to overcome it. Instead of saying we can't, they said we can. And then in the next chapter, they went even further and they said, don't fear the people of the land. I love this. They are our bread. We're going to eat them alive. Their protection has departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Look at the different attitudes. A negative attitude, defeated attitude, looked at them and said, we can't do it. The positive, conquering, victorious attitude looked at the enemy and said, don't fear them. We will consume them. They have no protection. God is with us. And the attitude with which they view the enemy made them to be the only two men that crossed over into the promised land. When the first generation totally died out, they were the only two of the first generation that crossed over. And what got them over was their overcoming, conquering attitude.
Before Pastor Jeff comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple of important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, lifetalkradio.us. You'll find today's program right there in the listen page, along with all of Pastor Jeff's messages. There's also a link to a complete station list that shows all of the stations Life Talk is on across the country, so you can let your friends and family know how they can listen to Life Talk as well. There's also a partner link for you to be able to support this program with your generous gifts. So check it out, lifetalkradio.us. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly appreciate it. And Pastor Jeff's back now for the conclusion of today's program.
Look at how the two groups totally differed with the attitude in which they viewed the enemy. The 10 men with a defeated attitude talked about the size of the giants, how they imagined the giants saw them, and it may or may not have been true, viewed themselves as defeated and weak, and how impossible it all looked. That's one way to look at your problems. But the two men with a conquering attitude saw the battle already won, that God had removed the giant's protection and that the Lord was with them. Now, unfortunately, we know the bad report prevailed and an entire generation, over a million people, did not cross over into the promised land because of the report of 10 men who looked at the battle through a defeated attitude. Wow. Now, the Apostle Paul, who I call the king of a positive attitude. He's the king. This man amazes me every time I read the way he responded to adversity. You should read what Paul wrote. Read about him, because he had such an overcoming attitude. And he's the one that told us, have the same attitude in you that was in Jesus. He's telling us where he got his attitude. He said, I got it from Jesus. I got my attitude from Jesus. Nothing could knock him down. Nothing could knock him out. Nothing took him out of the game. Nothing knocked him off the saddle. He just got up and kept on going and kept on going in spite of all kinds of adversity. He kept going and he refused to quit. And he reached the end and was able to say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And that's what we all want to say. And how did he do it? I'm telling you, he would never have spoken those words if he had not cultivated a conquering attitude. How many of you want to finish well? You want to finish well? Now, if you were to read Romans 8, 28 through 39, here's what you would find. The blueprint for a conquering attitude. You may want to write that down. Romans 8, 28 through 39. He gives the blueprint for a conquering attitude. But I want to summarize it for you today. What was his attitude comprised of? How did he get it? How many of you would like to know how to have a conquering attitude? Well, that's about five of you. I'm kind of wondering about you. Let me ask that again. Amen. Now, let me show you the anatomy of a conquering attitude. Here's the first thing. Paul says, you got to know this to have a conquering attitude. God has decreed our victory. I want you to say that with me. God has decreed my victory. It's been decreed. Now, let me read it to you. You know this verse, but let me just read it slow. Soak this in. Listen to what he says. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son. Now, that's a mouthful. Now, I want you to listen to what he said. We're told here that God decided something. He's telling us in those two verses, God has decided something. He has decided that those who come to his son, Jesus Christ, will become like him. When you got saved, there was a chosen spoken over your life. He chose you. That means he decreed that you would be like his son. Listen to what it's telling us. He has decreed that no matter what God's children experience in life, good or bad, it will, all experiences will be made to serve this purpose, that we are shaped into the image of his son. He has decreed it. It is decreed. You're going to be like Jesus whether you like it or not. It's a decree. It's a decree. He chose us to be like his son. Now, if you want to know what the ultimate will of God is, that's it. He makes all things work together for the good of one ultimate purpose, that we would be formed and shaped into the image of his son, that we would be Christ-like. It's a decree. It's a decree. He chose us for this. Listen to the Message Bible. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. Well, that's good stuff. That ought to rock your world. Because that means since he chose it, he's working to that end every day. Every single day, you're on the potter's wheel, and every single day, the hands of God are coming in on you, his prize, vase, or vase, depending on where you're from. He's moving in, and he is shaping your life as that wheel spins, as circumstances happen in your life, good, bad, or indifferent. His hands are shaping you into the image of his son. You are his ongoing workmanship. You are his project. And he's shaping you every day into the image of his son. He's chosen you for that. So he has decreed your victory. Now, if God decreed that all things will work together for our good, who or what can defeat us if God has decreed it? Now, Paul said, we know this. Now, I wonder if we all here today, I wonder if we really know this. He said, we know that all things work together for the good. Now, I want to suggest to you that that is part and parcel of a conquering attitude. Because if you know that he has decreed your victory, how can you have a defeated attitude? If you know he has decreed your victory and that all things are going to be made to bow to his purpose for you, then how in the world can we be negative? How in the world can we be defeated? How in the world can we lose? No, we're being told here, we are in a win-win situation. We are in a win-win situation. God has decreed that everything Satan can throw at me, or that man can do to me, or that circumstances can hand to me, will only work for my good. So good things, when I get a raise, that works for your good. Bad things, when I get fired, that's going to work for your good. In betrayals, in setbacks, in disillusionments, in discouragements, in good times and bad, bitter and sweet, no matter what comes my way, the hands of God are there to make it bow, to serve his purpose, to shape me into the image of Jesus Christ. Everybody say, I cannot lose. Say it again, I cannot lose. You say, but Pastor Jeff, this person that I believed in and was loyal to me and that I loved walked out and stabbed me in the back. Get up and keep on going, because God has grabbed that betrayal and he has said, bow to my purpose, and I'm going to shape them into the image of Jesus through that pain. I cannot lose. You cannot lose. So say with me, he's decreed my victory. Well, I want us to try that one more time. I'm going to get you preached up here in a minute. Say with me again, he's decreed my victory like you mean it.
He's decreed my
victory. There you go. Now, here's the second thing. A conquering attitude knows. This is another part of the anatomy of a conquering attitude. It is knowing God is for us. He's for us. In light of all the overwhelming evidence that Paul gives in Romans 8 that is in our favor, Paul asked a question. He said, well, in light of all of this, if God is for us, now think about that. If God is for us, he's concluding, based on everything he has just told us, that he's decreed your victory. You can't be separated from his love. All the great things he shares with us in Romans, he said, in light of all that, clearly God is for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? The answer is no one. No one can be against you. If God be for you, who can be against you? It's a rhetorical question. He means no one. Now, Paul's not saying that nobody can come against you. Who can be against us? He's not saying you're not going to get attacked, because people and devils came against him all the time, and people and devils come against you and me all the time. So he wasn't saying you can't get attacked. Here's what he's saying. Who can successfully come against us if God be fighting for us? Oh yeah, they're going to come against you. They're going to criticize you. That is human beings. They're going to make fun of you, mock you, ridicule you, criticize you, slander you. If any man walks in the will of God and serves Jesus with all of his heart, he will suffer persecution, the Bible says. If you live godly in Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution. So clearly, we're going to experience adversity. He's not saying they can't come against you. He's saying they cannot ultimately, totally, and finally, successfully come against you if God is fighting for you. They can't win and you can't lose. Now, why does this matter? Let me tell you why it matters. Because one of Satan's tactics is to try to convince us God's not on our side. That because of mistakes we've made, shortcomings, failures, stuff back there, that for some reason the devil has convinced you that because you did what you did and you went where you went and you said what you said and you've got this history behind you, that because of that, God is not on your side, but he's maybe kind of on your side, or every once in a while on your side. He's not quite sure whether or not he's going to be on your side. That's the way you think. But that's not the way he thinks. Do you know that that's the lie that Satan used against Eve all the way back in the Garden of Eden? It was his lie, and his tactic was to convince her that God was not on her side. Because when you wake up and you say, God's no longer on my side, you're in trouble. You're going to slide when you think he's no longer on your side.
Thanks for listening today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. To get a copy of today's message, give us a call at 877-884-3111. Or you can pick it up at our website, lifetalkradio.us. That's 877-884-3111, or the website, lifetalkradio.us. And while you're there at the website, you'll find today's message along with all the messages from Pastor Jeff on our Listen page. You can also sign up to get our e-devotionals, ministry updates, our exclusive Life Talk listener emails, and a whole lot more. We'll even send you a free gift just for signing up. And be sure to check out the resource page, as it's packed with so many things we know you'll be interested in. Again, the website is lifetalkradio.us, or call us at 877-884-3111. One last thing. Your partnership with this program through your generous giving is always needed and very appreciated. We know Life Talk is making a difference in your life, so this is how you can make a difference to ours. Please take a minute to send your best gift at the partner page on our website, lifetalkradio.us, or by calling 877-884-3111. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly appreciate it. Be sure to join us next time right here on Life Talk.